This morning, we want to welcome special guest speaker. And I met Mesfin outside this morning when he pulled in, and I was I needed to ask him how to pronounce his last name. And he said it for me, and I did such a bad job of repeating it that he said, just call me Mesfin. So my apologies to you. But I want to welcome Mesfin, who is from the Bethel Ethiopian Evangelical Church. And I think the first thing that Mesfin wants to do is to lead us in a song. So please come to the front. Do you want me to stay up here for the song with you? Or?
Yes.
Okay, sure, yeah.
Thank you.
Let me take this out of your way. Okay.
Hi, I greet you in the name of my Lord, Jesus Christ. I am so happy to be here with you. Even though English is my second language, I know that I can communicate with you because I have a good youngsters who can speak English very well. And they understand what I mean. If they understand what I mean, for sure, you can understand me too. And we are Ethiopians. I am pastoring Ethiopian church for the last 22 years. We speak Amharic language in our church. But sometimes I go to English-speaking congregation like you, and I thank God for their patience. But always I pray for my Lord to give me boldness to speak whatever language people are speaking. That's my prayer, because He saved me, and He made me a witness up to the end of the earth. I think Canada is the end. Praise the Lord. I came from Africa. I traveled a long way, and it took me almost 7 or 8 years to reach Canada. I have been refugee in different places like Yemen and Kenya, Athens, and at last, God is faithful and good to me, and I came to Canada 23 years ago. And I thank God for everything He's doing through me and with me, with my families. I have a good burden to reach the lost. I know what the gospel is, what the good news is, how God dearly loved His people, and how He touched me, how He saved me, and what He wants me to do for the rest of my life. And it's a great privilege to be with you here this morning, and I give thanks to Pastor Alyssa, which I met her by phone. I didn't see her actually, but we talked by phone, and she is a very kind woman. Just when I heard, when she talked to me with a kindness word, when she invited me here to your church, even though in her absence, just I want to say thank you. And at the same time, I want to say thank you to the leadership here, to this church, who trusted me to stand here in front of this beloved children of God. I want to give thanks. Before I go to my message, in fact, I have a short message. If it was in my church, I preach 1 hour. Not less than 1 hour, just. If it is less than 1 hour, just, they will be very angry. But, you know, God is so kind for you, and just because just my English is very small, just I have to speak for you for not more than 20 minutes. I don't have more than that. Before I go to my messages, I want to sing a song in Amharic, and my brother Tim will help me in English. The song is, I have decided to follow Jesus. It is like an old song, but in our church, we love it dearly. Because just we decided to follow Him, to follow the truth, to follow Jesus. And that is decision. The gospel, you know, always separates people to God's own. And always we speak about decision. We always speak to our people when we evangelize. We tell them just to love not the world, but Jesus. And He brought us out of the world, out of darkness, to His marvelous light. Where He is, in His presence, we always enjoy His presence. He is the Holy God who loved us dearly. and he called us to holiness. And always just we challenge our church to follow him, to follow the truth. And today just I told to Brother Tim to sing, it's a very short song, the first number only, just in Amharic and in English. Is there something on the PowerPoint? No. Okay. Or I think just everybody knows the song.
Everybody knows the song. I've decided to follow Jesus. And do you want to teach us the Amharic
words? First, let me say it in Amharic. It's very easy. Let me sing it at least twice. And third, just you will be with me. የጌታ መንገድ እከተላለሁ የጌታ መንገድ እከተላለሁ የጌታ መንገድ እከተላለሁ ወደ ኋላ አልመለስም Again, የጌታን መንገድ እከተላለሁ የጌታን መንገድ እከተላለሁ የጌታን መንገድ እከተላለሁ ወደ ኋላ አልመለስም የጌታን መንገድ እከተላለሁ የጌታን መንገድ እከተላለሁ የጌታን መንገድ እከተላለሁ ወደ ኋላ አልመለስም Is it heavy? Can you sing in English? Yeah. Once and just...
And together? Do you want to sing together with Amharic and English? Or?
Can we do it? I don't know. Is it very hard?
No.
If it was on the PowerPoint, it would be very easy. But I think it's a bit difficult for you. But can we say it in English? Can you say it in English, please?
Sure.
Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
No turning back.
No turning back. Once more. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Thank you so much. Okay. My message today is every believer is a witness or an evangelist. Do you know what evangelist is? You know, evangelist is a messenger of good news. Always, the gospel is good news. It's not bad news. It's good news. The good news is Jesus died on the cross for our sin. He was buried and resurrected on the third day. And he was seen by the saints for 40 days. And after that, Jesus ascended in heaven. And now Jesus in heaven, interceding for us, and he will come back again for the second time. That's our blessed hope. Praise the Lord. He will come again. Amen. He will come again. In our church, if we say he will come again, everybody will say, Amen. Come back, Jesus. You know, because this is our blessed hope. That is the hope of every humanity, the coming of our Lord Jesus. Last week, we are studying about the book of Daniel. And on the book of Daniel, there was a big image. King Nebuchadnezzar, he saw a dream and he was disturbed and he wanted to know what the dream is. The dream was, you know, he saw it, but he can't remember it. And at that time, just he called all the wise people, those people, magicians, sorcerers, and also it's the wise men of God. He asked them what the dream is and at the same time, what's the interpretation of that dream? And that was a heavy question, you know. If someone tells you the dream, it's easy to interpret as you wish. You know, people just, they can't say anything. But here, God locked the dream too. And now Daniel was, you know, when the wise men are started to be killed, you know, Daniel just, he spoke wisely. You know, why the king is very hurry to kill the wise men? And he asked just to have time. And one night only just, he prayed with his three friends for one night. And they prayed and the Lord gave him the dream and the interpretation. And he went to the king and just, he told him the dream and the interpretation. The dream was one big image, the image of a man. And that man just, as you know, historically just from the king of Iraq now, the king of what we call in English, Babylon. From the king of Babylon up to the last, the toe, the 10 fingers of the toe, that is the 10 superpowers. That is the end time, the time of Antichrist, what we understand. That is the last day which we are in, as you know. And that big image, what we see, just the king of Babylon and the king of Persia, the Iranian government, the Persian government, and also the king, Alexander the Great, the king of Greece, that is the stomach part, and also just the leg part, the iron government, the Romanian government, which was on Jesus' time, and also the end time, just which we see now at this time, just the 10 toes, just which is the last days which we are now. And when we study about this image, just the church was so astounded just to see the blessed hope. You know, Christ will come, we know, very soon. We know we are on the end time. And when we are going to evangelize just people, just we are trying to show them where we are. Because just when we see the end, we will be so rejoicing because just Christ is coming soon. I am so happy to see this. Because the Spirit and the church, they agree. Lord, come. Come, Lord, come. Because we know that the government of Jesus is the only hope, the only peace to all humanity. Otherwise, you know, men always, we are lost. We don't know what true peace is. Our way is not the way of God. And my prayer always, just when we go to evangelize, just when we tell to people about good news is, we tell them just Christ will come soon. And we are so excited when we tell them, because I know inside me there is great joy to see Jesus, our King of Kings, Lord of Lords, to come here in this world, and all humanity will get this good rest. And on that Bible study, just one of our lady in the Bible study, she was crying. I asked her, why are you crying? She said, my husband is passed away. I lost my two children. Now I am alone. But always just I feel I am not alone because Christ is with me. I want to see him eye to eye. I want to see him face to face. You know, this is our great hope. Praise the Lord. And we want to see him soon. You know, this eagerness, always, we shouldn't lose this hope, the blessed hope. Church, God's people, you should grab it. You should take it with joy and speak it to all people like a salt and like a light. You know, always message should excite us. Otherwise, message will not be a message. If I am sad to speak about good news, You know, people, they can't see hope in my face. You know, always we rejoice. Rejoice in whom? In Jesus. Are you happy? Are you joyful? Rejoice in the Lord. I say again, rejoice in the Lord. You'll come back soon. Amen. One amen. Praise God. I know. Thanks. Okay. Every believer is an evangelist, means every believer is called to speak this good news. The good news is not bad news. And when I say we are an evangelist, it means just we are speaking hope to the hopeless humanity. Because just always sin makes people hopeless. You know, sin separates us from the loving God we have. He loves us dearly. Still, he is holy. He loves us dearly and he wants to save us. That's why Jesus came to this earth, to redeem all lost, like me and you. And always when we see salvation, when we sing a song, you know, that means that this blessed hope, which started by receiving Christ as my personal Savior, it started in my life, but it will finish soon. My redemption is very, very near. You know, salvation started by receiving Christ, but it has to continue. You know, the Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, you know, make your own salvation or work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Means just salvation is a continuous kind of work in my life. The Holy Spirit always sanctifies. And that glorious work will be done when Jesus comes. That is our glorification. The Bible says just always salvation, the end part of salvation is to be glorified. You know, God calls us to be glorified. You know, glorification is what we are called for. Praise the Lord. And we will be the image of the Son. The Son means Christ. We look like him. And that is our call. On the book of Luke, Christ was preaching this good news. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Gospel means good news. And when Christ came to this world, he has done two things. First, he preached, then he healed. You know, he gave this hope to all humanity. And he said, I came to preach the good news to the poor. Poor means poor in spirit. Poor means poor for those who are hungry for the good news. You know, faith is not for everybody. You know, salvation is not for everybody. He called everybody, but respond. People will not respond for this good news. You know, that is the problem. God loves everyone. God loves the whole world. But people are not responding. All people are not responding for this good news. My prayer and every servant of God, our prayer is, you know, Lord, open the heart of your people. Save your people, Lord. Forgive us. And that is our everyday prayer, because just unless this heart is open, this good news will not have effect. You know, yesterday night, just I have a teaching service in my church, and I am speaking about the authority of the Word of God. And when I teach the church what the Word is, on the book of Jeremiah chapter 23, the Word is like a hammer. A hammer means a fire and hammer. You know, it can break our stony heart. It can break it and it can enter in my heart. You know, my heart is so stony. I remember just almost 32 years ago, I used to be against the gospel, against this good news. Most people, when they are coming to me and speak to me about this good news, I used to say no. I used to say no because just I think that my religion was the right way to go to heaven. You know, the right way to go to heaven is not religion, but relationship. Relationship with the Savior, with Jesus. And most of the time, I was against the good news. I don't want to even to listen. People, when they speak to me about Jesus, I say no, no, no. I was very angry. Sometimes just I want to fight. But I remember one day, God broke my heart. He entered to my heart. For the first time, I kneel down and I start to cry. I close my door and just I say, Jesus, save me. That was the darkest hour in my life. I can't have enough time just to speak my story, but my story is like a book. This was in Nairobi. It was 32 years ago. For the first time, I gave my heart to Jesus, and I understand what hell is and what true peace is when Christ entered to my life. From that day onwards, Lord, I say thank you. 32 years, I never get disappointed. I love to follow him. I love to serve him. I love to talk about him. Wherever I go, you know, I have to say something about the one who loved me dearly. And even my children, just one of my child is university second year student, and just I always challenge him, just when you go to university, wherever you are, worship him, follow him. And I am always watching him. You know, sometimes I see some changes, and I am not enforcing, but still I sit down eye to eye and I spoke to him, what you see is for a time. The one who comes is for everlasting. Follow with him. University means nothing unless you have Jesus. I challenge him, and I thanks God. Now he is the leader of our youth service in my church. And I am happy just when he is serving, when he is preaching and teaching in the church. Even though he's a student and he has a lot of studies, still he drives, he comes back to Kitchener. He is leading, and he is doing his own responsibility. Always loving him will take us to serving him. You know, we serve Jesus not because of duty, but because of love. I know just sometimes we pay a price, but it doesn't matter. Comparing with the glory which is coming, serving him is nothing. You know, we can't pay him back what he has done for us. You know, salvation is big glory for me, but still I want to serve him. I want to say something every day. Lord, use me, open the door for me. When I come even to this meeting, I prayed and just I begged him, Lord, let everybody open the heart. Even though my speaking is broken, I know people can understand what I am saying. And just it was my prayer, Lord, I am not going just to take some time to fill a gap, but to serve, to speak in behalf of you, Lord Jesus. I am an evangelist. I am an evangelist means I am a good news speaker. Lord, let everybody open their heart. That was my prayer. And I thank God just you are listening because I see you. Praise God. We are the light of the world. The light of the world means just two promises. First, we abide in the light, you know. Our address is always in his address, you know. If you ask me where I am, every day I am in the light. I have fellowship with the light, fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Always just there is no darkness there, just there is light. I'm not speaking about perfection. We are not perfect. We always sin. Still, the holiness of Jesus, his perfection is in us because we have the seed of Christ in us. God always see not my perfection, but the perfect Christ is in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you believe that Christ is in you? Amen. He is in us. You know, perfection is not, you know, most people are, you know, sometimes they feel bad because just they think that because they are not perfect, they think that just they are not, you know, compatible just for the call they have. But what I see is just my own perfection is a filthy rag, I know. On the book of Isaiah, it says just your perfection can take you nowhere. But his perfection is, praise God, full. And first, I have this fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Every day I rejoice in him because he is my perfection. My address is always with him. Sometimes I sin, but I repent. Repent means rethink. Always I rethink. What am I doing? If I am sinning, just I am breaking the heart of God, not the law. The law is for those people who are not saved. They break the law. But for God's people, when they sin, they break the heart of their Father who loves them dearly. And I don't want to break his heart. I want to follow him every day. If I am missing a mark, the Spirit of God is in me. I am very conscious to the prompt of the Holy Spirit. And when the Spirit says, I am very sad, Miss Finn, I said, Lord, forgive me. You know, washing by the blood is every day. You know, every day. Every day, the blood of Jesus washes from all our sins. You know, church, my beloved brother and sister, the blood of Jesus washes from all our filthiness. He is a good forgiving God. He is a loving Father. He loves you more than you love yourself. He knows you more than you know yourself, because the Bible says, He knows me before the creation of this world. You know, before this world was created, I was known by Him. He knows me by name. If you ask how, because He knows. He knows. He is all-knowing God. And the truth is, He knows I am weak. He knows my nature. And He knows I will sin one day. My father Adam will sin. He knows I will fail Him. But He knows that there is a Redeemer who is coming to redeem me. His name is Jesus. He knows my pain. He knows my failure. He knows who I am. I am a clay. I am weak. But He is strong to save me, to save you. He loves you so much. That's why He spoke to me in my heart, speak to my people, that I dearly love them. He doesn't want to lose anyone. We are the light of the world. We are in the fellowship of the light. And the second promise is, we will reflect the light of the world. In short, you know, the sun reflects, you know, the sun shines, the moon reflects. The moon has no light of herself, but shines the light of the sun. Same thing, we shine the light of Jesus. He said, you are the light of the world. You know, if Jesus is in me, I can shine. It's easy. I can shine His love, His mercy, you know, His truth, and whatever the heaven has in Jesus, it is with me, with you. And the second point is, we are the salt of the earth. Salt has, as you know, three kind of character. Salt, first, purity. It is white as snow. And the Bible says, blessed are pure in heart, they can see God. You know, purity can take me to Jesus, to God. You know, my eyes will be opened because of I am pure in heart. Purity in my heart comes because of the blood of Jesus. It can wash all my consciousness to see Him. You know, we see God because our eyes is opened. You know, spiritual eyes and spiritual ears will open when they can see because of the blood of Jesus. And purity is not our purity, as I told you before, like sanctification. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. That is the work of the blood. And all people who are saved, their eyes is not like those people who are in the world. We have spiritual eyes, spiritual ears to see the spiritual world. What Jesus has done in my life, I can see it by my spiritual eyes. And purity can open my eyes. The second is, the salt has the power of preservation. Am I right? Yeah. And on Jesus' time, there was no fridge. And to take beef or fish for a long time, they have to rub it with the salt, as you know. And it is like a preservative. And we are preservative for this decaying world, you know. This world is decaying because of sin, as you know. People just who are sinning, unless they are repenting, just they are decaying. That's what the Bible says. And God came through Jesus to save us from decaying. Spiritually, decay comes, you know, always sin separates from God, you know, from this loving Father. And the salt can use people to preserve, you know. When I am saved, I go, wherever I go, I stop infestation. You know, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Word, the presence of Jesus with you and me, it will help people just, you know, to bring them back from decaying, from getting lost. That is the power of saltiness. The third is for seasoning, to make the food tasty. You know, God tastes this world and He says it's good because of you and me. You know, if there is no seed of God in this world, you know, in God's nostril, it's a bad smell. God forgives this world because of intercession, because of prayer of the church. If there is no prayer in the church, if there is no intercession, if there is no pleading, Lord, forgive me every day, I know judgment is very fast then. If the church is taken from this world, there is no salt. If there is no salt, the earth is ready for judgment. You know, on the day of Noah, there was judgment because everything was done. All flesh was wicked, and God was patient for many, many thousand years. Then the patience was done. Only Noah was found with his families, and he took Noah from the earth. Then the earth was rotten, and that was ready for the judgment, and God judged the world. Now God is so merciful. You know, people, they say, where is God? He didn't show up. Still just, he's not there. The Bible says in the book of 2 Peter, he is delayed to save me and you. Otherwise, God is love. God is also a consuming fire. God has two characters. One is he is a loving and merciful God. On the other end, you know, people just, they understand God in one way. Only just God is love, God is love, God is love. Yeah, that's true. God is also God of judge. He judges sin. Otherwise, how can he judge Jesus on the cross? His only begotten son. He judged him because of me and you. If he's judging his only begotten son, what will happen? Those people who are refusing Jesus, where do they go? Where is the hiding place? Unless under the shelter of Jesus Almighty. And my prayer is, the church's prayer is always, Lord, forgive us. Give us time. Let us go and speak this good news to all lost humanity. You know, I am so happy to see many of my friends who came to Jesus. Years before, just most of my friends, they were laughing at me. But now, when I go to state, when I call, you know, he's going to church. This, you know, people are, years before, these people were laughing, like me. But at this time, they are very serious, because I tell them seriously, wherever I meet them, I challenge them, come to Jesus. This is a serious thing. You know, salvation is not cheap. It is grace, free gift, but it's not cheap. It is very expensive because God cost him his only dearly begotten son, Jesus. He gave on the cross his life for me and you. You know, he paid a lot of price. When the Spirit speaks to me, just sometimes it makes me cry like a small baby. My son, sometimes when I pray, just he said, what happened, Daddy? Why are you crying? You know, it's the joy of crying. You know, it's the joy of weeping. It's not like a hopeless kind of crying, but it is true. He loves me dearly, but people just, when you tell them sometimes, just they joke. They didn't take it seriously. Everlasting life is not a joke. You know, last time I was teaching about hell for 6 different sessions, and when I speak about hell just on the book of Revelation, I saw one of the story of hell. You know, hell is a bottomless pit. Lord, what does it mean? What's bottomless pit? You know, you go down and down and down, but there is no end. You know, if someone falls from 15th floor, he can hit the floor. Gah. But in hell, people, they go down and down and down. But there is no end. Completely darkness, hopelessness, crying and gnashing of teeth, always just with demon and just with what you call those foul spirits, just always in heaven. There is a scream, there is, you know, hunger and thirst. But there is no comfort in that place. And why do people go there? You know, that place is for the devil and for his angels. Because God, before he created humanity, just first, he has done his job in heaven. Just the 1/3 of those angels are filtered, you know, those people, those angels who doesn't want to worship God, you know, he gave them some time and he judged already the devil and his angels. It's done. Everything is done. But the devil came to this world with great anger. Now just he has a small time, but now he's deceiving people. People, you know, he is a spirit. He is a deceiver. He always comes like a project. He is like a roaring lion, just going round and round. It doesn't mean just he wants to go around me, but he is like a project studying who I am and what's my weakness. How can he take me out of the presence of God? You know, devil is, you know, a cunning, you know, serpent. You know, the Bible says, he doesn't say just I came to destroy you, but he will come like a friend, and he comes, whispers like, you know, where is my weakness? He tried to talk with me on my weak point. But if you are full of prayer, you know, you don't miss it. You don't give your hand to this evil. And the devil has very short time. And most people are, you know, conned by this spirit. You know, they are cheated, you know, by, you know, the devil, you know, he has a lot of ways to communicate with people according, you know, he can change his face in different ways. And what I want to say is that hellish place is not for us. It's not for humanity. But God, after so many time of patience, you know, many people will choose to go to that place. But the church, as a good witness, we are a salt and we are a light to this dying and falling world. To make it short, did I speak more than 20 minutes? I'm sorry. How can I be an evangelist? Simple term, pray. The Bible says on the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications and prayer, intercession and giving of thanks be made for all men. We have to pray. Prayer is a powerful thing, a powerful weapon, you know, to bring back all lost humanity. Church has to pray. You know, when we pray, our heart will be changed from strong or stiff heart to tender heart. You know, sometimes people, they ask, just how can I have a good heart, you know, which is like David? It's very easy. God can change it. How can it be changed? You know, the Bible says the word of God is like a hammer. You know, it can break my heart. The power of the Holy Spirit can change my heart to love people, to love all lost humanity, to pray for the lost, you know. God will give me a burden, give me a love of souls to pray for them, not to judge them, to pray for them. You know, God, you know, you can ask God, you pray for him, Lord, use me. Use me, Lord, let me pray for this lost humanity. We pray. We will get a heart of compassion. And also when we pray, there is a door of opportunity. God open a door for us when we pray. On the book of Colossians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, and pray for us too that God may open a door for our message. You know, the message will go through open doors. And when we pray, the door will be open for us. And also, prayer will give us the boldness to speak the good news. You know, Peter was a man full of fear. But when he gets the Holy Spirit, he has a courage to speak about Jesus. And when we pray, the power of the Holy Spirit will use us. He uses our mouths for his glory. Where can I be an evangelist? It is everywhere. At work, at school, at the mall, at the hospital, at the gym, at the restaurant, wherever you are, wherever you go, you are an evangelist. You are a messenger of God. Don't forget, yes, this is your office. Every believer is an evangelist. This is not only the pastor, this is not only the few person who are going to speak about the good news. We understand just his marvelous love touched me. Then I have to say something about this. You know, many people just, they don't know. Even just they think they know, but they don't know. If we are serious and if they see hope in us, still they will ask me, what's your hope? Why are you laughing? Why are you rejoicing? Because what I see is for some time, for a short time. What comes king and domain, kingdom. The King of Kings is forever. And I am looking that forever and ever government. That's I'm happy. I'm rejoicing. Because in that place, there is no sorrow. There is no fear. There is no death. There is no darkness. There is no pain. What we see here in this world, in this fallen humanity, you can't find it there. That is a wonderful place. When I read the Bible, what heaven looked like, you know, if you can't define God, you can't define heaven too. That's the place where he lives. Eternal God lives in heaven. If he is living there, that place is also has the same character of who God is. His dwelling place is the same as who he is. That is eternal place. And just I am so eager to see what this place looks like. So wherever we go, we speak this good news. Closing, to be a witness is to live a life that attests to your confession. When you are a witness, you live a life that can witness what you are speaking. You know, some people just, they say, I belong to heaven, but still they are so burdened in this world. I always encourage my church people, take it easy. Don't be burdened. Don't be sad. Take it easy. We go. For sure we go one day. The second point is, to be a witness is to let our light shine. Though the good works that we do, you know, shine means do good thing. When I come now to this place, I had a call from one person. This person is not coming to church. Are you pastor? Yeah. Can you come and help me? What do you want me to help you? My tire is flat. Can you give me your something? You know, sometimes pastors are like hospital. They call people and just do this for me, do that for me. You know, this opportunity is good for me to say something about this good news. And I have to go there and to help him. At the same time, I invited him to church. I hope I will see him this afternoon. This is my great opportunity when I come to church, like that good Samaritan. You know, this person was in some problem. He was in a hurry to go somewhere, but he can't find people, but he was sure that I may respond to his call. I went there. I gave him some time. I talked with him. You know, in Canada, most people, because they have enough food, enough shelter, you know. In Kenya, it's very easy to evangelize because people have many, many, many needs. But in Canada, just people just, most of the time, they are closed. Their door is closed, even Ethiopians. They are changed a lot. They are living like Canadians. If you speak to them about good news, they don't want it. But wherever we go, opportunity, if they are in a sorrow, in a problem, in a, some kind of, it, whenever there is open door, we go and we do something good for these people. And they open their heart to this good news. And I encourage you to do something good to the community if you get opportunity. And that will help also to speak about the good news of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your patience. I don't know how we communicated, but God is a good God. He helped me a lot. Okay.